chick, this. And let's get the box. Go ahead. Turn it over to Pop.
Okay, thanks, Ron. Good to have everybody with us tonight. Again, I'm not in front of the screen, so I'd rather try to carry on this way because it keeps my mind kind of focused on what I need to say rather than who's there, I guess. And it works out a little better. We left off last week. In Ecclesiastes 3, and our word that we had chosen was the word walk, but we kind of did a side trip for a week or two, and when we got into Ecclesiastes, the word appears in Ecclesiastes, the word walk appears three times. But I wanted to go back, and since we did go back to Genesis 3 and part of Genesis 3 and part of Genesis 4, before I wanted to start in Ecclesiastes 3 because that was the place in my mind that it kind of fit. And we went through last week all these times. You know, and we discussed the 28 times there, the 4 times 7, the number 28, or 2 times 14, whichever way you want to look at it. And so we realized that within these times or these seasons that God has set forth His method of doing things. And you know, when we get into seasons, man can't really change a season. Now, he's learned how to grow stuff and how to do things with the ground or with the earth that God has left with us. We've learned how to do things in certain ways, but still, you know, not on a scale that would feed the world. But on a scale that would help mankind in this day and age to, if he has the ability to work, to go out and earn whatever it is that he wants to eat, he can generally find it. Because somewhere in the world, you know, it's being grown. It's being, brought forth by the labor of men's hands that we could put it on our tables. And so we went through all that to where we got down to a personal observation. And we went two verses into that before we ran out of time last week. And this is Solomon's personal observation. And Solomon was the preacher. He was the one charged with bringing us Ecclesiastes. And so Solomon is going to give us some of his personal observations, and they are, again, full of wisdom because God had given to Solomon the wisdom that other men had not seen or had down through the ages. And of course, Solomon was the grandson of Jesse, and of course he again came from the loins of David, his father, and because of all the things that had been set forth in place for man to do according to God's will, he gave Solomon the wisdom to get involved in all this. And so we're reading some of that, and we're studying some of that tonight. And so the personal observations goes on through the greater part of chapter 4. And that's chapter 4 is where we find the word walk. But, you know, without looking at some of this stuff, it's kind of hard to pick up a study in the middle of something that there hasn't been any groundwork laid for. And so that's the reason why we went back to do this. And I'm going to read 10 and 11, and we'll start with 12 in our study. But with the personal observations of labor that's being mentioned here, because, you know, and we went back to Genesis 3 and 4 because God ousted Adam from the garden, and he told him by the sweat of his brow he was going to have to earn his bread. And that it was going to come from the ground, and the ground was going to be cursed. And, you know, if we go to Romans 8, and we look at Romans 8, 17 through 23, in Romans 8, we find that the earth is still under the curse. And the earth is still moaning and groaning today. It talks about the creature or creation in that sense. And certainly it is. And also another thing too that God told him back in Genesis 3, that the sign that you will have will be thorns and thistles. Be stuff that will prick and stick you. And it can even take your life. And so we see this really all over the world. We see these things that carry these plants and trees and whatnot that carries all these things. Plus, that wasn't the only thing. It talked about the bees and the biting and stinging things that goes along with all this. And so man has to be careful about reaching his hand in to pick fruit or whatever to take it away from nature. And so we realize that God changed nature, and he changed it dramatically. And it's not something that we need to overlook. We continually need to be aware of the fact that this was not the way that God intended for it to be. But this was the way that it became because of Adam and Eve and their deal with the Shining One and the consequences of it. In this, the consequences, the word consequences is a real word that Doherty uses a lot, and I like that. To me, it really makes sense that for things that goes on, there's consequences.
Yeah, suffer the consequences.
So that it's kind of like the old Red Skelton said about the little boy that was flipping the coin and went into the soda shop, and while he was sitting on the stool, he got him a soda, and he was flipping it up, and about the time the soda jerk handed him the soda, the little boy flipped his coin up that he was going to pay for the soda with, and he swallowed it. And the pantomime was, ooh, it went down. I'll pay you tomorrow. And the old guy that was doing the soda, he was the pharmacist. So he started mixing up stuff, and he said, no, you'll pay me today. So that was always the lesson that I remembered in that. And then kind of like Ronnie said, that's free, y'all.
No,
we won't do no charge.
Absolutely
for that.
No charge.
Verse 10, I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. So, the work that brings on this fatigue and this stress and all of the things that goes with hard work, all of that, that's travail. It's work that brings on fatigue and stress. Said, which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. So God, that's the way that God humbles man. You know, in his work. See, God provided him with skins of animals, him and his wife. She hadn't been named yet. Well, about the time that Adam named her Eve, they got the skins to cover themselves with rather than the fig leaves. And the land. And he told Adam, you're going to have to earn the land by the sweat of your, you're going to have to earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. And so he gave them food and he gave them clothing, but he didn't give them shelter. And I think one reason why the shelter wasn't given, because at that time the earth hadn't been broken up in Peleg's day. And it was only then, and I think all these zones that they were living in were temporal zones where shelter wasn't really a big deal. But you see, when man got to being scattered out, and of course, after the Tower of Babel, when languages were confounded, then it became a little kind of a sticky thing. And then, of course, when the earth was broken up in Peleg's day to different continents, then you had the real need for shelter because everything wasn't temperate climate anymore. It wasn't like the Garden of Eden. It wasn't a paradise anymore. And so this is how God humbles man. But now we're talking about early on here. We're talking about Adam and we're talking about Eve and also their two sons that came along. Okay, so let's go to verse 11. And it says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time, in God's time. Also, he hath set the world in their hearts so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So in verse 11, Elohim, hath made everything, or created all things, and he created it beautiful or good in its proper season. Also, it says he has set the world in their hearts, and he put or placed the sons of man there, and we read the note in the Companion Bible in there where it talks about the sons of man or the world, the ages or the world in relation to time. See. So there's a note in the CB that I didn't read it, go back to read it all to you tonight because we read it last week. It says, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh. No one, there's no ish, understands fully God's will that the God maketh, that the true God hath done. So you see, only ones that saw what God made to begin with was Adam and Eve. And they were thrown out of the garden. And see, so all of this, and he placed the curse upon the rest of the, evidently on the rest of the earth. And so, therefore, man can't understand what the beginning was like because he wasn't privy to it. Only Adam and Eve were privy to it, and they were ousted shortly after they were created. Not that long back. Okay. So, here's our study tonight. This is study 40 on the word walk, which we haven't got to yet. And for the tape, this is June 17th, 2015. So I went back and picked up those two verses to get us to the starting point tonight, which is verse 12. In verse 12, he says, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. So this is another thing that God has blessed us with. He has graced us with a situation to where man can receive the fruits of his labor. In a sense that, you know, he can rejoice and find something good from it. Even though man was ejected from the goodness of the garden, the earth is still not a bad place because God has provided us, like he did with Adam and Eve, with the things that we should be able to use our hands to make them work for us. Okay? In that sense. He says, I know that there is no good in them. And so in the notes I put, nature was altered due to the curse that God placed on it because of Adam's fall. And so when he's talking about, I know that there is no good in them, and in God's works, at first, all things were good. When he started creating or recreating, and he would go from day one to day two to day three, and he would say, it was good. And it was. And that's what Adam and Eve inherited. That all of which was good. But they got kicked out into something that wasn't good. Okay? But now, you can see some of the grace of God here at work in man because of this. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. So he give man the wisdom, the knowledge, and the ability to know him. And not only that, but he give him the wisdom and the knowledge and the ability to make a life for himself with what God hath provided him. Now, does that make sense? It does to me. Mm-hmm. In his life. And so, he says, man, during his time on earth, should rejoice in what he has to do to make it. And a lot of them, you know, when it comes to work, they don't want to. That's a dirty word for a lot of people. But that's not the way it was supposed to be. Verse 13. And he said, and also, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. You know, it's part of God's grace. It's what God has provided us with. And also, he says, continuing on, that every man or all should eat and drink, earn his bread, the way he told Adam. He said, you, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to earn your bread. You're going to have to earn what you eat. That's just the way it is. And enjoy. Enjoy is 7,200 in the strong. And it means to have pleasure in. So God meant for man to have pleasure in the fruits of his labor. Because in God's Son, the fruits of his Son's labor was a new creation.
Amen.
See? We can see it. We know it. We have somewhat of the rest of the story, okay? So enjoy the good of all his labor or the results of his toil. Because God really doesn't want you to do all this work for nothing. But he wants you to enjoy it, but he wants you to acknowledge where it came from. Is that too much? No, I don't think so. It is the gift of God. Matthoth. A present or a reward. That's what a gift is a present or a reward of God from Elohim. Verse 14. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that man should fear before him. And this is a pretty good verse of Scripture. I know that whatsoever, anything that God doeth, makes or creates or has done, it shall be forever, or as long as the earth stands, so shall it be. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. So man cannot add to it. Whatever he does, you know, he might change it around a little bit, but it's all put here for him anyway.
Amen.
And it says anything or nothing taken. And nothing taken even goes back to man's dust, what he's taken from. He's taken from dust. Dust thou art, dust shall thou return. Now he can't even take the dust that he is made with. That's not acceptable unto God. That belongs here.
And it stays.
It belongs here. It said, and God doeth it. In 14. And God doeth it, that man should fear before him. So God can, and he shows to man his power and control, that man should fear before him. He is the author and the finisher in love. Whatever God chooses to do, he is the author and finisher in love. And God is love. He's always love. And that's just the way it is. And so man can't change that. Man can't change God. Man can't really change anything that God left here for him. If he had, he would have already taken the curse away. But the curse is still with us. Verse 15. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be has already been, and God requireth that which is past. Wow. There's a lot said there. And the wise man really spoke some truth here. That what has been, that is in, what was in the past is now. Okay? And that which is to be, that is the future, has already been.
One of my favorite verses.
And God requireth that which is. And requireth there is 1245 in the strong. And that word is in the Hebrew is bakash. And that which is past is 7291. And that's Rodolph. to run after or chase toward. That's what past is. If you're going to run after something and chase after something in the past, you're wasting your time. You are really, really using your labor in vanity, in the wind, so to speak. And it says, and God requireth that which is past. And that is, the God there is a low M, requireth to search out or desire, to pursue, to correct what has been wrong. And so God is always in the business of trying to correct that which the Shining One started out with. That's going downhill. But Solomon in his wisdom tells us a little further down, and I don't know where we'll get to it in the lesson tonight or not, but he tells us on down into it some that tyranny came about, and it was so bad. So he kind of praised the ones that had already died, because he said they're better off in death than the ones that were living. And the ones that were living is still better off than the ones that are yet to be born, because it seems like everything was in a downward trend. And I thought, gee, you know, I never really considered that too much, but that's the way the wise man said. Verse 16. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. So you see where in the earth, regardless of whether you go or whatever you do, if man is involved, it seems like the worldly things follow them to the extent that they carry it to a great degree, you know. And it goes on. It says, and moreover, or that's 5750 in the Strong's, and it means again. I saw on the earth, or under the sun, is the way Solomon said, the place of judgment. And this was man's court. We're not talking here about God's court. We're talking about man's court. And, you know, as much as we try to live under rules and regulations, it gets corrupted too. And is corrupt. That wickedness was there, or lawlessness, or iniquity. And there's a word for it in the appendices, and it's rasha. And that's just how bad it was. And then he talks about the place of righteousness. And the place of righteousness is 66:64. That iniquity was there. And he's talking here about the assembly of the right, the natural, or the moral, or the legality. And it says, it's wickedness. And it exists because it's man. Again. Well, it don't matter where it's man's court, or whether it's an assembly meant for good. We think about all these things that have been brought around to do good. Like, you know, for example, the Red Cross, or anything where people goes to do something for those that are depressed in some manner or put down in some way. It might be an earthquake or whatever it is that goes on. regardless of whatever it is, you find that there's people trying to circumvent it and to get all this stuff for their own good or to make money out of it, off of others. That, and, you know, that in some way just don't have it to pay. So, this was another observation that he had in 16 there. And then he goes on to talk about the beast. It gets right on down toward that. Verse 17 says, yeah. 17 says, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. So you see, even for the righteous, they may fall by the wayside. It's temptation is a great thing, you know. Eve was a great example of that. When she was come up on the fallen one, I mean the shining one, she had only known the voice of God. But yet, he turned her into a different direction. Because of his looks. I don't know. But 17 says, I said in my heart, or I speak to myself, or my understanding is. This is the wisdom of Solomon. This is, you know, my thoughts of what he is putting forth here. I said in mine heart, my understanding is, Elohim, God, shall judge the righteous. And he is a righteous one judging the righteous and the wicked. And he is a righteous one judging the lawless one. So whether it's in righteousness or whether it's in lawlessness, God is the same. He is always the righteous one. And it says, for there is a time, there for every purpose. And for every work, for every labor. So there is a use, a temporary use or temporary purpose for all these works. And it may not be permanent because we're talking about vanity. And vanity is something that is fleeting. It's just only here for a little while. And then we get to verse 18. Verse 18 said, I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men that God might manifest them and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. So he says, you know, really, if man gets to looking at himself, he finds he's not very far from being like a beast himself. Because he will use everything in his power to overcome those that are not as powerful as he is. This is Satan's way of doing things on the earth. You see. So let's break this down a little bit. And I said into my heart, again, I speak to myself. My understanding is concerning or as to the estate. And the estate there is a reason, cause, or style of the sons of men or the children of Adam. Because you see, Adam and Eve knew things that others didn't know. and where he could explain it to his offspring or not, I do not know. But you know, it talks about the sons of man, and in many instances it goes back to the sons of Adam. He said that God might manifest them. And we need to look at the note in the CB there that says, God has chosen them to show them that even they are beasts or living creatures, as opposed to man, mammals, or as opposed to creeping things, quadrupeds, as opposed to wild beasts and cattle. So they, you see, there's several of the creeping things that it talks about here. And we're man without God and without having God in his life is pretty much like a beast.
Sure appears that way, doesn't
he? He is a living creature. You see, the difference between a godly man and a man that doesn't know God is what God can do for the one that is his. And it's pretty evident that Satan doesn't do that, because it reverts back to the old nature, seems like, on every situation with Satan. It's almost like it's automatic going the other way. So, that God might manifest them, that they may see that they themselves are beasts, or these living creatures are beasts. Verse 19. For that which befalleth the sons of man befalleth beast. Every one thing, even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. That's pretty heavy stuff. And befalleth there is the word mikreth in the Hebrew, mikreth. A happening. For that which happens to the son of man befalleth. Happens to the beast also. Even one thing, and that one thing there equals death. The one thing between them that they have in common is death. And they also have breath. They have
one breath.
A breath. They are living, okay? And he says, as one dieth, so dieth the other. Death doesn't discriminate. Certainly it does not discriminate. Yea, they have all one breath or one spirit, one ruach. They have the one ruach. So that a man, Adam, hath no preeminence. And preeminence there is 4195 in the Strong's. In the Hebrew there is mothar, I think, in the English, mothar. And it means superiority over. So that man hath no preeminence or no superiority above a beast, for all is vanity. He's got no superiority above the other living creatures, because all is emptiness. It comes to no good. If he doesn't know God, he's no better than the beast. It all goes.
Can't ever read this without thinking about a guy Chip and I worked with, Wallace Anderson. In my office one morning, we had a conversation about this. And somehow or another it got back around. Somebody died and he mentioned it. And somehow or another it got back around to this scripture. You know, because I think Wallace had said he wasn't sure that the guy was a believer or not. You know, he pretty much
readily accepted the fact that they thought this guy was, you know, pretty much busting nail wide open. And, you know, we got into this conversation, and he kind of trying to remember how, but he finally got around and he said, well, you know, but he's almost saying that, you know, if, you know, he's almost saying that a person ain't no better than an animal. I'm not saying he's not almost saying it. He is saying it.
Yeah.
And he's, and I think he said something like, well, I'm not sure if I like that or not. And I said, well, you'll have to take that up with the author. I didn't write, I didn't write that.
Yeah,
you
I could.
Had to, you know, you had to discuss that one.
I could tell him almost see him doing
it was,
that.
It yeah. was comical.
Yeah.
Been a lot of years ago, though.
Yeah. A lot of water under the bridge. So it says in verse 20 that all go to one place, and that is Sheol or the grave. That's the one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. And so when I was doing the study in Genesis 3 and 4, it was quite plain that man, regardless of his situation, was an earthen vessel. And woman, taken from a man, she also is an earthen vessel. And these earthen vessels are going to go back to their original form. Now, that's the reason that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah,
see? So, it says, all go to one place, Sheol or the grave, all are earthen vessels. They are of the dust. And all turn to dust again. And they gave back. They are going to give back what was given them. We are too. We're going to give back what was given us. But glory be to God, we have been given more.
Amen.
You see, and that's what counts. Because we cannot save ourselves. We can't, we don't have the power to save ourselves. But we have the power to turn our life over to God, and that He certainly has the power to take care of all things.
You, as arrogant as man is now with the realization of the need for the Creator, think how arrogant man would be if he knew in his heart that he could get by without a Creator.
Yeah.
Think how bad we would be.
Yeah. Well, thank God.
I mean, if it was optional, if we needed him or didn't need him. I mean, absolute fact is we need him now. And even at that, a lot of people thumb their nose at it.
Yeah.
But if it was a fact that we didn't need him.
But they still take advantage of the things that God has left for all.
Yeah.
You know, to have stuff and
and they enjoy the blessing of the single life that they have.
The fruits of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Verse 9, you know, started with a question. What profit is he that worketh and wherein he laboreth? And 21 also gives us another question. He says, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? So here's the second real question in this.
And here's my point about how God differentiates between the spirit of man and the spirit of the beast.
Yeah.
Of any beast.
Yeah. And he gives man the same thing regardless of whether he believes or don't believe, the spirit still goes back to God. Yeah.
That is the inherent difference. And you can, you know, you hear all this, stuff about doggy heaven and kitty heaven, yes, and horsey heaven and all this. And you can say all you want to, but in Ecclesiastes, God and God alone makes the difference between the spirit of man and the spirit of the beast.
Okay. Let's break it down a little bit. It says, who knoweth the spirit or the ruach of man, of the sons of Adam, that goeth or that it moves upward? And it goes upward to God in hope. Now, the hope lies in God. And now, if everything is, in my view of this, if it's done in God, then there is hope. If it's not in God, then there is no hope, but it still goes in the same way.
Yeah.
You see, so whether it is or whether it isn't, in my view, but it went that way in hope. Now, whether or not provisions were made for that hope is between man and God. And that seems to me to be pretty self-explanatory. You know, that the spirit goes back. Now, if it goes back with hope, then God will know it. And if it goes back without hope, God will know that
because
also.
Because we have the assurance that the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Absolutely. Okay. And the spirit of the beast, the living creatures that's talked about here, that goeth downward. And it goes to the earth, to Sheol, the grave, with no hope. It doesn't have hope. So, those that want to see their animal in heaven again, I'm sorry, as I read that, it seems to be not there for you, as far as I can tell. And it says in verse 22, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than a man should rejoice in his own work, for that is his portion. For whom shall bring him to see what shall be after him? So he says, wherefore I perceive. Because of this, I understand. What we just read, he's saying, well, I understand that there is nothing better than man, Adam, and that he should rejoice or have pleasure. And, you know, we went through that word before or again, right, either this week or last week, in his own works or his own labor. For this is his portion. This is what he has worked for. And so Solomon here is saying, I perceive or I understand that there is nothing better. And nothing better here is, the word better is used several times in the book of Ecclesiastes, and generally it's used as good. But now there is another side of this. You know, we talk about, we're making observations, and here Solomon is making an observation. Well, you see, I'm a diabetic. And so something that you might partake of might be better than it would be for me to partake of it because of my
condition.
So you see, this word is conditional. So it can be it can mean something different. But generally, in the normal sense of the word, it can mean good. It should mean good. There says there is nothing better. Well, we can't say there's nothing gooder. That doesn't fly very well. That a man should rejoice or have pleasure in his own labor. For this is his portion. He's worked for it. And then the question goes on to say, for who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Well, really, God can do that, but he would have to do it through the promise to Abraham and Abraham's seed, because we know that some are going to be raised again that hadn't saw their Messiah, and that they're going to be raised and given life again because of that situation, so they can have the hope, or the same hope. But he's not going to bring them back to see what they had worked for, to see if it's still on the earth. That's not the situation here. They may see or understand some things that was here before, but that would be between them and God. I think the gate, the Eastern Gate, would probably be one of those things in Jerusalem that will be there for those that went to Jerusalem at one time. But the rest of it's not going to be very familiar to them, but that might be familiar to them. But this is not what that's talking about. This is not, you know, like, well, I'm going to build a mansion and it's going to be here forever. No, it's only temporary too. So it doesn't work that way. So we've made it through chapter 3 here. And
you're wondering, some of the ancient ruins, the Greek temples and stuff, all the great structures that they built, you know, the Colosseum and all these things.
Yeah.
You wonder sometimes when the people were constructing those things, if they ever wondered, you know, how long will this be here?
Well, I think
they probably thought it would be there forever.
Whoever built the pyramids and the Sphinx and all this thing, I think they all thought we're doing something great here. It is such a, you know, such a wonderful thing that we're going to do this. I kind of hesitate on starting another chapter tonight because we've just about spent our time and we wouldn't get over one or two verses. But Solomon does this two or three times in the fourth chapter. He says, so I returned and considered. It's kind of like he was looking at this stuff, thinking about this stuff, and he got to thinking about the situation of man and how he had to work and labor for it. And it was almost like, well, now I've got to clean the slate here and start this thinking all over again. So I returned. And I think he was returning. It was like he was going off on tangents in his mind.
Came back.
And all of a sudden he said, well, you know, I got to get back on the right track here.
Yeah.
I've got to do this. And so this is another little quirk that I think you're going to find in these chapters, is some of these chapters as we go through them. So we're going to do 4, and we're going to do chapter 6, and we're going to do chapter 11. Now, chapter 6 and chapter 11 is not very long chapters, but only three places in Ecclesiastes where he talks about walking. And all three of them are walking as man walks and not according to how God chooses for man to walk. But Solomon is doing the observations here. And so Solomon is seeing man and knowing that God has allowed him the freedom to go and to move away from him if he so desires. And that, so all three of these things in chapter 4 are not the walk which God has expected man to walk, but as man walks upon the earth. And we're dealing with the things under the sun or under heaven. You know, this is things that's happening here on the earth. And the sinful state that it became in. And so that's kind of where we are in this study. And so in verse 15, and I hope we get that far the next time, that we'll probably pick it up with the fact that man's walk here. But there's so much here that was tied back to where man started his laboring, and that man's labor is at the very most temporary, and that even nature in its changed position. If I was to leave this house today, tomorrow, this week, this year, if we were to just leave and not do anything to it or for it, it wouldn't be long until you probably couldn't tell there was a house here.
It's like nature just envelopes it and consumes it.
Just like nature takes it back over.
Eats it, yeah.
And so that's the way. That's the way things are, even with the curse upon the land. See, God requires it back.
That which is past.
Whether or not, you know, if we don't use it, it's going back. And when we get done with what we do use, it's going back. So here we are. And we need to realize that, and so many people have so great consternation over what they're going to leave. And I know just about everybody that I know want to leave their children better off than they were. But yet, you know, this labor will soon fade away because it's temporary. It is like the word habal, meaning able in the English. He's temporary. He's transitory. It's not going to last. He's fleeting. It's here for a while, then it's gone. And if we don't get anything else out of Ecclesiastes, we need to understand that God has put it here for us, and that He has given us by His grace the ability to use it and to enjoy it and not to fret about it when we're gone or when we're leaving. Let things work out. And let it be. People, you know, write all these things that go to these courts, and we already seen where Solomon said, you know, in these courts, it's wicked. You know, things don't always turn out the way they're supposed to turn out, according to the papers that they have. But nevertheless, it goes on. Things goes on.
Yeah.
Land and houses and possessions and things that man has accumulated during his lifetime, it may or may not go to whoever he wanted it to go to.
Yeah. And if it don't, there's nothing he can do about it.
It just don't work out sometimes. It just don't. And that's the reason I thank the Lord that my affections are set on things on high and not on things of this earth.
Amen.
Because when I'm done, I don't need these anymore.
Amen.
Oh, death, where is that sting? That's part of the sting. That's part of the hurt. You know, it's not going to cause me anything.
One sting does not a victory make, right?
No, no way. So thank you for your time tonight. Thank you for your love and the effort. And I pray that what was said would be that the Lord would want me to put forth. And I tried to make it as plain and as simple and projected in the way that Solomon would have had it projected in today's English, and that the way it's written and the way it's spoken and the way it turns out, it really truly to me makes sense. And that's a great blessing to me that I can look at it and study it, and that it does make sense. God bless you. Pray for us as we continue on. And also, we had a situation today where a truck in town rear-ended one of our all-electric buses and sent 7 people to the emergency room. And I don't know how bad it was, but I think one woman was knocked around pretty bad, but the rest of them got whiplash big time. And so that wasn't good today, but you know, our area here has a bus service that the government has allowed us to have, and it is kind of a thing. It's supposed to be the thing of future. And we have all electric buses in the city of Seneca, and they're free. You can get on them and ride wherever they go. There's no charge. And but, you know, I guess these people, they are wondering if that's really worth their while. But nevertheless, I hope there wasn't hurt too bad. But pray for them, if you will. Thank you so much.